your Bible, if you will, please, tonight to the book of Psalm. In the book of Psalm, chapter number 86, in the 86th Psalm, we'll be looking there for a moment. And then we'll go to a couple other spots here in a bit. But notice there in the book of Psalm, chapter 86, if you're able to stand, then do so while we look in verse number 15. All right? Verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is to be once again back here in the house of God. We thank you for the good songs of Zion that we've enjoyed together, the great special music now that you've blessed us with. I pray you'd bless the reading of thy word to every heart, save the lost, lift up the downhearted, set the captives free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, thank you, and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on this subject, on the reason you ought to come to Christ. And in the day and hour we're living in, there's no two ways in ten that most of the time that we just take for granted, you know, that people up and down the road of life, they've heard the story, they believe the story, they know the story. I'll tell you, they've been a lot of them heard it, but they don't believe it. We live in a world like that, and I'm talking about most of our family, most of our friends. I've said before, and I get a lot of funny looks, and that according to the Bible, that probably the preacher you know and like the best will be in hell one of these days. As it was in the days of Noah. You know how many preachers were saved during the days of Noah? Only one. Got down to that one. See, anytime somebody looks at me funny like that, they've got a kidney stone, it's got up in the craw, I'm just going to give them a Bible passage. Either you believe what God said or you don't. As it was in the days of Noah, there wasn't but one righteous preacher. His name was Noah. And let me tell you, make no mistake about it, I'm glad to know that I'm saved. And before the coming of the Lord, there's going to be fewer and fewer people. You're going to find men and women and pulpiteers that really and truly that know the Lord. In the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you something. It's by the grace of God that you and I are saved, going to heaven. It's by his mercy. Did you like what it said in the passage? Lord, you're full of compassion. You ever find anybody cared more for you than Jesus can? You won't. You're not going to. Most of the time is that we've got people that think a lot of us, but when it comes down to where the rubber meets the road, you could get thrown under the bus. And you could get blamed for it because of, you see what I'm talking about? But the Lord's full of compassion. And there's nobody ever loved us like Jesus does. In fact, as the Bible said, he's not only full of compassion, but he's gracious. Now, I don't remember who it was that said it. I wished I had, but I just remembered having read it. You know the difference between grace and mercy? The difference between, well, what grace does, it gives you what you and I don't deserve, which is salvation. We can't earn that. We can't deserve that. And I'm going to heaven. I'm hell-proof and heaven-bound because of the grace of God tonight. God's full of grace. He's got some for you. Mercy, on the other hand, keeps you from getting what you deserve, which is a place called hell, the bottomless pit, the lake of fire, where the worm never dies and the fire's never quenched. I want to say that I'm glad that by the mercy of God, I'm going to miss hell and make heaven. And by the grace of God, I've been born into the family of God. And I hope you can say that. And if not, you can say it. Notice that, if you will, please, is that in the lesson there that he said that God is slow to anger. Did you ever notice that? In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out that God is not only a God that you and I, look in verse 5. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive. If you're not saved tonight, you've not been forgiven of your sin. God said he's plenteous in mercy and all them that call upon him or call upon thee. Now, if you're here tonight, you're not saved, you don't know the Lord in the free pardon of sin, I got to tell you, if you'll turn unto the Lord, make no mistake about it, our God is able from the guttermost, and the guttermost all the way unto heaven, God's able to save your soul. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, somebody said, where did God find you? Well, he found Israel in a waste howling wilderness. And the Bible said he led them about and kept them as the apple of his eye. And the Bible said that whenever you begin to look into it, is that you'll find out that our Lord is not one that loses his temper like you and I do. If you did, we'd all be in hell together, and that's all there'd be for us. Look in verse number 13. The Bible said, "For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul," look at it, "from the lowest hell." Hey, did you know there's going to be degrees of punishment even in hell? But the less degree of punishment there is going to be hot and dark and weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And here's what I know. The Bible said they that have sinned must be beaten with many stripes. And those that didn't know and so forth and on shall be beaten with fewer stripes. Did you know that over there in Revelation chapter number 21 that one of the things that the Bible said is that the fearful and the unbelieving, do you know the hottest part of hell is going to be for those that have heard the gospel and yet just didn't believe it? I think somehow or another I'm going to just skate through on my own merit. In this Bible lesson, make no mistake about it, this Bible said that, if you will, that God is ready to forgive. If you're not saved and you don't know the Lord and you're going to meet somebody that doesn't know, in fact is, just right now, while you're sitting there where you are, I want you to think of somebody that you be dear to your heart, you may like, and yet somehow or another, you just know they're not saved by their life, by their belief, by their intentions, by their mannerisms, and so forth and all. And just think about somebody that you know that's lost without God just for a minute in your mind, in your heart and your mind. Now, if you even know more than we are here tonight, if you can't think of somebody that's lost and going to hell, it's you. Saved people know somebody that's lost without hope and without God. You know, when I got saved, my eyes were opened up, and I began to think about, you know what, I got a lot of kin folks that are in this condition. I mean, most of them go to churches somewhere, but I got a lot of kin folks that are in this condition and that need to be snatched as a brand from the burning. And since then, God has done that for some of them. I want to say that when you begin to look into this Bible lesson, the Bible said God is ready to forgive if you'll call upon Him. If you'll ask Him to come into your heart. Now, you'll have to admit who you are and what you are. And by the way, let me tell you, I was as clean as a hound's tooth growing up. I've told you over and over again, my wife and I went together for 2 years. And, of course, you know, I had to wait until she could get out of diapers to ask her to. I mean, she was 14. I wasn't but 16. We got to going together and went for 2 years. Never been together as a man and a woman, as a husband and a wife, till after that we got married. That's unusual. It's not because of the fact that we are just holier than thou. But let me just tell you, when I got saved, I realized that I was as lost and hell-bent and hell-bound and hell-deserving as the worst sinner you could think about. So don't think I'm trying to pat myself. I've never been drunk one time in my life. Unless you count that time I took NyQuil and got crazy. And all that business there. I told you about that years ago, you know, I was down there in Houston. There's something in NyQuil besides the alcohol and all that, just doesn't, because when I take it, it makes me crazy. And two times that my wife came in there, she said, you know, this is back before we had a cell phone, and if you had a phone that would reach to your back bedroom, it had to have a 200-foot cord. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you know where I'm at. And she came in there and she said, hey, somebody's wanting to talk to you on the phone. I forget who it was. And I was looking at her, and it took me a second to figure out who is this. And then after that, she got tickled because I looked funny looking at her. She could tell something wasn't right. And I was thinking, yeah, old gal, whoever you are, I'll make you think, laugh, and what if I can get up out of this bed. And, of course, I didn't. It's a good thing I didn't. She'd have probably beat the snot out of me or something like that. The long and short of it is that, you know, there's sometimes things will mess with your mind. And obviously we realize then, no more NyQuil for me. So now I have to suffer through whatever NyQuil would have been good for. I don't leave here and go and say, well, a preacher told me to get me some NyQuil. I can go off and have a good time and all that and all. And you will. I don't know if you can remember what you shouted about, but you can have a good time on that while it's lasting. I want you to notice in your Bible that, if you will, that if you'll call upon the name of the Lord, you're never going to call upon God till He sees you till you see Him and He sees you the way you really are, and when you see yourself like that. Boy, I realized and knew somehow or another that I was in a mess. All right, number one in this sermon tonight, I'm going to give you a moment to find over there in the book of Micah, Micah chapter number 7. There's a passage there that we ought to look at in the book of Micah. And so you can simply go through and find that. We'll be looking in chapter 7 here in a moment in the book of Micah. And the Bible said there that when we look into it, that the Lord is ready for you to call upon Him. Make no mistake about it, that every time that you and I come to know Him in the free pardon of sin, listen, what a godless, wicked life and state we're in as a sinner. And regardless of how clean you was and how special you might have been, how careful that you was, a man's born without God, man's born a sinner, a woman's born without God, she's born a sinner and having need of the Savior. And let me tell you, God's ready to forgive you if you call upon Him. I remember when I did. All right, in verse number 18 of the book of Micah, here's the Bible said, "Who is a God like unto thee?" Notice that. He's asking the question there. He says, "Unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and that that passeth by the transgression of the remnant of the heritage. He, notice, retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy." Now, you don't think you're going to make God so mad at you that He won't listen to you and that He won't love you, that He won't have compassion upon you, that His grace won't be sufficient. I can tell you, there's never been and never will be a God like we're preaching about here tonight. And let me say to you, did you notice in that passage there that in the very last three words there, delighteth in mercy? Hey, listen, do you know what God wants to do while you turn to Ezekiel chapter number 33? God delights in it whenever He can dispense mercy upon those that have heard the message and that God's been tugging at their heartstring to bring them into the family of God. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, God wants to have mercy. God will have mercy. God's ready to forgive you. And I'm glad to know that He was. In the Ezekiel chapter number 33, there's a passage over there, and I want you to look at about verse number 11. Now, the Lord doesn't have any pleasure in taking a person and throwing them into hell. By the way, if they live without the Lord and they die without the Lord, hell awaits them. Make no mistake about it. No matter how good they've been, doesn't matter how much they've acquired, don't matter how many barns they've got, how many they're building, how many bank accounts they have. Listen, if you live without the Lord and die without the Lord, you spend eternity without the Lord when God was ready to forgive you. Notice in chapter number 33, verse 11 of the book of Ezekiel, saying to them, "As I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." God's not looking to somebody to die and throw them into hell. "I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will you die, O house of Israel?" And I want to say to you that when you begin to look into it, the Lord is ready to forgive you. He wants to forgive you. He's waiting to forgive you. And all you need but do is to bow your head and your heart unto Him as God's tugging on your heartstrings and be born into the family of God. Over there in the book of the Exodus, in chapter number 34, there's a passage that we're looking at. It's in chapter number 34 in the book of Exodus, and it's about verse number 7. Now, when you look into that passage there, God, no doubt, has been tempted by His own people more than one occasion. In the book of Exodus, in chapter 34, verse 7, He says He's keeping mercy for thousands. Oh, He's not going to run out. There'll be mercy for you. Forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Look at this. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and the fourth generation. Now here's what He's saying. God doesn't take pleasure in a wicked dying without God and being thrown into a place called hell, the bottomless pit, the lake of fire where the worm never dies and the fire never quits. Let me tell you, God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn and be born into the family of God. But make no mistake about it, He will not clear the wicked. And if they die without the Lord, they're going to spend eternity without God. Now, notice in the book of Nehemiah, real quickly there, you know who Nehemiah was, don't you? Nehemiah was one of those children of Israel that after Ezra had gone back to establish some worship, after that the walls of the temple were destroyed, is that they were going there to lay the foundation. They were going there to rally as many of the people of God as they could, the Israelite. And Nehemiah was sent that he might be able to rebuild the wall. He must not have been a Democrat. He's going to build the wall again. And as you look into this Bible lesson in Nehemiah chapter number 9, look in verse 17. He says, "And refused to obey, and neither were mindful of the wonders that thou didst among them, but hardened their necks." Look at that. Now these are his people. These are his people that he'd deliver. And in their rebellion, they appointed a captain to return to their bondage. Thou, God, are ready to pardon, gracious, merciful, slow to anger, and of a great kindness, and forsookest them not. Now, these are the people of Israel. They had been delivered out of bondage. Now, they've been allowed to go into the land, some of them by. Some of them are going in there, working on the foundation of the new temple, of the new house of God. Some of them are going back into there that they might be able to worship, sing, and praise, and establish that, like Ezra's leadership was for. And some of them, like Nehemiah, were to go in to build the walls and to keep that which ought not to be out and that which ought to be in on the inside. Now look in verse number 19, same thing. "Yet," he says, "in thy manifold mercy forsookest them not in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud departed not from them by day and led them in the way, and neither the pillar of fire by night to show them the light and the way wherein they should go." Now here's what we're talking about. Is that you'll find that when Israel wanted to return back into the land of bondage, where they wanted to return back to where they had them leeks and onions and garlics and was eating them melons, they forgot all about the taskmaster and the whips thereof. And let me tell you, they even tried to get somebody organized to lead them back into Egypt after God delivered them out. Now, you know, if you'd have been God or I'd have been God, I might have been a little peeved about that. It didn't tick God off at all. If it had been, you know, you and I get mad. You know how it is, fellas, you get mad. Back whenever you had a gravel driveway, you'd jump in a car and, man, sling gravel everywhere. Or you walk out, slam the door, huh? Like you'd been raised in a barn. You know how that is. You get mad, stomp your feet and this and that or whatever it is that ladies do. I said all that, say this. Is that when God gets mad, buddy, he turns a mountain over. He breaks the earth open and swallows things up in it. Make no mistake about it, you don't ever want to get God to get angry at you, but I'm glad the Lord is not in the angry business, but that he's doing what he can to lead us by day and to lead us by night. And let me tell you right now, is that by night he led them by fire and by nighttime, he led them by fire. By the daytime, he led them by a cloud that was over them. I had a preacher friend of mine. He's an Indian. Let's see here. What kind of Indians are there in South Oklahoma around Wright City? His name was Luther Baptiste. Choctaw. Maybe it's Choctaw Indians. Is that the one? I might be saying. Anyhow, they were Indians. Here's the way they shout. I went and preached a couple of meetings for them. Here's the way an Indian shouts. Hey, I didn't know if I was coming or going, but they were very nice. They were very cordial people, and all that. And I guess that's better than them giving some kind of and raving tomahawks. I don't know, you know. But old Luther came by, and we were visiting and fellowshipping, and he said, "I said, where are you going?" "I'm going to Houston." I think he was going down there, probably to the camp meeting over at Brother Woods back in the day. And he said, "Pray for me, preacher. God, give me a good cloud today. My air conditioner don't work." And I'll tell you, I've always remembered God led Israel by day by a pillar of a cloud and by night by a pillar of a fire. And he didn't give up on leading them whatsoever. I want to say as we get ready to close tonight, while you turn to Isaiah chapter number 55, there's a passage there that we ought to look at real hurriedly tonight. And let me say to you that when God pardons you, it's an abundant pardon. I want you to look in Isaiah 55. It's about verse number 7. The Bible said, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for notice, he will abundantly pardon. Now I'm going to tell you, when God forgives you, it's not for the moment, it's for all time. And when God saves your soul, now let me tell you, he may chasten and scourge you. In fact, it's over in the book of Hebrews, and we'll not take time to turn there, but in the book of Hebrews, in about chapter number 11, the Bible warns about being chastened of the Lord. If you're a child of God, you're going to do right. If you don't do right, God's going to chasten you, God's going to scourge you until you do right. In other words, that's him. And here's what he says, plain is the day. If you be without chastisement, then are you bastards and not sons. If you can live in sin, do whatever you want to do, God never does anything to you about that, you're not a child of God. That's very simple. But when God will have mercy and pardon you, it'll be an abundant pardon. And that's not for the moment, but for all time. Last but not least, we're done. When the Lord saves a soul, he gives them everlasting life. Everlasting life. There's eternal life to be had or eternal damnation to be suffering throughout eternity. I'm glad to know by the grace of God, by the mercies of God, that I've got life everlasting that's been given to me by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the reason why that God says over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and it's about verse number 2, for now is the accepted time and today's the day. You know, yesterday's gone forever, tomorrow may not ever come. God's working in the eternity of right now. If you need the Lord, I wouldn't let my shirt tail hit my back very many more times without bowing my head and heart and trusting him as my Lord and my Savior. It'd be good if you could be abundantly pardoned. I may be troubled about a few things when I go to bed tonight. I don't like the president. And the cabinet, they're so wicked and godless in the day and hour that we're living in. I try to pray for them without vomiting. But no doubt that God in his providence has given us less than we deserve in this country. What a wicked bunch. One nation under God's become one nation without God. And I'm an American, buddy. I'm a flag-toting, flag-waving American. Do you hear me? I believe we're in the best country that you could ever live in on the face of this earth. But nonetheless, out of all the problems and the godless and the wickedness that's in both camps, not just the Democratic Party, but in both camps, I'm ashamed of both of them. You know, they're not supposed to be working for this party and working for them, working their own party. They're supposed to be working together for the United States of America. We've lost sight of that somewhere, and I'm afraid a bloodbath and a war is going to take, that's what it's going to take to fix it. Now, I don't mean that lightly, but what a sad day that would be. I want to say, but to you and I that's here tonight, make no mistake about it, it's good to be saved, it's good to know the Lord, and if you don't know him, I hope you will come to know him in the free pardon of sin. These are a few reasons why you ought to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Our Father, we ask your blessings upon these that have gathered here tonight. Lord, we thank you for the privilege to worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the blessed word of the Lord and the Spirit of God to lead, guide, and direct us therein. Now bless these that are sick that we've mentioned tonight. Restore their health. Go with each one of us to our home. Bring us back again safely. May we be found busily and occupied about your business when you so come again, that we be not ashamed at thy appearing. In Jesus' name we pray.